We're holding on in Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Hey. We learned yesterday how Yechezkel sees in his vision the Shechina returning to the Beis Hamikdash through the Eastern Gate, or we said specifically through one of the Pishbashim, one of the little side doors of the main doors of the Heichal. And so now continuing on that. Pasuk Hey, Vatisaini Ruach, so he says a wind lifted me up. And it brought me into the inner chotzer, because before he started out by saying that the malach brought him to the outer chotzer facing towards the eastern gate. And he saw the Shechina coming in. Now he's following it. Now he's following into the chotzer apnimi, v'hinei molich void Hashem aboyis, and he sees that Hashem's glory, the Shechina, is filling up the entire Beis Hamikdash. And in fact, the Radak points out, just like in the first time when he saw the Ma'aseh Merkava earlier in the Sefer, you have the line, but he's saying, Yiruach v'ashma achrei kerash gadol. So he also, a wind lifted him up in order to be able to see the Shechina, so to speak, up close. Pasuk Vav, v'eshma midaber elai mehaboyis, then I heard speaking to me from the house. The word midaber with the chirik, Rashi explains over here and also in other places in Tanakh, where you have the same form that the word midaber literally means that he's as if he's speaking to himself, so to speak, and as if Hashem is speaking to himself, so to speak, and the Navi is overhearing, because that's a more respectful way, instead of saying that Hashem is speaking directly to a Nivra. So instead you find the same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu also, by Yishma Asako Midaber Elo. Anyway, Va'ashma Midaber Elai Me'aboyis, so I heard now speaking to me from the house, from the Heichel, the Ish Hoya Oymid Etzli, and the Malach was still standing next to me. The Radak says it may be the Malach who was showing him around all this time, might be a different Malach. Anyway, up until now, you know, interestingly, we have up until now, from the beginning of Perek Mem, Yechezkel has not heard directly from Hashem. Everything has been told has been through the Malach. Now, for the first time in this Nevuah, he's hearing the actual voice of Hashem. By Yomer Eli, and he says to me, Ben Adam, son of man, or mortal, which is the term that's used for Yechezkel throughout the Sefer, Es Mekoyim Kisi, this is the place of my throne, the Beis Hamikdash, the Es Mekoyim Kapos Raglai, and it's the place of my footstool, like you have in Yeshaya, Shemayim Kisi, V'aretz Adrem Raglai. So, so to speak, the Beis Hamikdash is my throne and my footstool, Asher Eshkan Sham B'Seich B'nei Yisrael Olam, where I will dwell among the Jewish people in the Beis Mikdash forever, unlike the previous Batei Mikdash. V'lo Yitamu Oy Beis Yisrael Shem Kodshi, and the Jewish people, he continues, will no longer desecrate my holy name, Hema U'malcheihem, they and their kings, Biznusam, with their Znus, which means plain old Znus, and it also means Avodah Zarah, over figure malcheihem, and with the dead bodies of their kings, bamoisam, and with the bamois that they built by them. Rashi points out, you find in a number of places in Sefer Malachim and Divrei Yamim, it tells about some of the kings. You have some of them were actually killed in the palaces, and sometimes they buried them on the grounds of the palace. You have a couple in general, they buried the kings in Kibre Malchus Beis David, which are further south in Yerushalayim, further away from the Harabayis, but occasionally it mentions about some of them that they were buried Began Beiso in the garden of their house or whatever. And it comes out from the various psukim in Malachim, it comes out that the palace was literally right next door to the Beis Mikdash. You find, for example, Rashi mentions by the story of Asalia, where we read the end of the story over there as the Haftorah for Shabbos Parashas Shkolim. So you have over there that Asalia, they're crowning 7-year-old Yehoyash in the Beis Hamikdash, and Asalia comes from the palace to see what's going on, and Yehoyada orders that they should arrest her and take her out of the Beis Hamikdash and then kill her. So we see that the palace and the Beis Hamikdash are all not very far apart. So now Hashem is saying that in the future, I'm not going to have that they're going to be metame, the Beis Hamikdash, with their Averus and with the dead bodies of their kings. Meaning, he continues in Pasuk Ches, up until now, Besitam Sipam Es Sipi, up until now, they've placed their threshold next to my threshold, because again, the palace is right next door to the Beis Hamikdash. Umezuzasim etzim mezuzasi, and their doorpost next to my doorpost. Vahakir beini uveinehem, and all there is between me and them, between the Beis Hamikdash and the palace, is a wall. The timu aschem kodshi, and the result is they were metame my holy name, with the disgusting things that they did, Avodah Zarah and other Averis, and therefore Hashem says, I destroyed them, like I destroyed them in my anger, because it was bad enough that they're doing Averis, but on top of it, they're doing it right next door to the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem says, that's intolerable. Pasuk test, Ata, now what's going to happen is, Yirachku esznusam, or figure malcheihem mimeni, now they will keep away their znus out of Avodah Zarah, and the dead bodies of their kings away from me, because, so Rashi explains that now, first of all, we have a gigantic harabayis, again, relative to the first and second Beis Hamikdash, where the harabayis was really not that much bigger than the Azara. Here you have, like we learned yesterday, it's about 100 times the size. So you have, first of all, for that reason alone, you have a big wide area. But second of all, also he's going to explain later on in the Sefer, in Perek Mem Hei, and in more detail, in Perek Mem Ches, Yechezkel describes that the Beis Hamikdash is actually not going to be located next to the city of Yerushalayim as it was until now. Till now, you had the northern end of Yerushalayim is where the Beis Hamikdash is located. So nowadays also, you have the old city, and you have on one side of it is the Harabais. The way it's going to be lost in love, Yechezkel describes, first of all, Eretz Yisrael is going to be redivided into strips for each Shevet. Instead of the original time, by Yeshua's times, they divided Eretz Yisrael into irregularly shaped pieces for each Shevet. Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, whether each Shevet get the same size territory regardless of their population? Did larger Shevatim get larger territories? Whatever it is, La'asid Lover, he describes in Perek Mem Hei and in Perek Mem Ches, you're going to have strips of land. You're going to have the northern strip. Each strip is going to be 75 mil wide, so around 50 miles, give or take. And you have the northern strip on the northern border of Eretz Yisrael is going to be for Dan, and below them a strip for Asher, and below them a strip for Naphtali, and so on and so forth, until you get to a strip for Yehuda. Then he describes you have a strip in the middle where most of it is going to belong to the Nasi, where Rashi explains later on in the Sefer that Nasi means the Kohen Gadol, and the Mephoshim say it means Melech HaMashiach. And the Gemara seems to bear that out. But anyway, most of that strip is going to belong to him. In the middle of it, there's going to be a square area where there's going to be subdivisions in it, an area within it for the Harabayis and the Beis Hamikdash. South of that, an area for the Kohenim, and south of that, an area for the Levim, and south of that, the area where the city of Yerushalayim and the fields where food is going to be grown for the people of the city are located. So Yerushalayim and the palace, which is in it, are going to be a considerable distance away from the Harabayis. So that's what Hashem is saying, that whether they like it or not, Al Kocham, Rashi says, they're of necessity, that's it, because that's how it's going to be divided, that therefore there's Nus and Pigrim Alcheim will stay away from me, V'shachanti, V'seichem Lo'olam, and therefore I'll be able to live among them forever, and the Shekhinah won't have to go away. You have to wonder anyway. We're talking about Yemos Mashiach, Esruach HaToma Avim in Ha'aretz, and then there won't be death anymore, so what's Nus and Pigrim Alcheim is he talking about anyway? One answer, I guess you could say, is, you have the famous machlokas, who's going to build the Beis Hamikdash, where the Rambam holds that Mashiach is going to bond a Mikdash Mukaymo, Bekibetz Nidche Yisrael, and only then do we know that he's Vadei Mashiach. Well, then, when there can be a point when the Beis Hamikdash is built, but before Mashiach has fully come and shown himself as Vadei Mashiach yet, where, therefore, you're going to still have, there's still a Yetzirah, and people are still going to die, and so forth. And then at a time like that, you need the separation that he describes in order to make sure that you don't have a repeat of what you had before. So there is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin where Rabbi Akiva says Aseres Hashvatim Ein Asidin Lachzer. There is a good deal of discussion about that. So there is an explanation that he means Davka, the original people of the Aseres Hashvatim who went into Golos in the time of Sancheirev, but on the other hand, their descendants will return. There is a different opinion, yeah, that says that it means that as a whole, all of their descendants are lost. However, it doesn't matter, in the sense of having all 12 Shvatim lost in love, we're going to have them regardless. Because even if we hold a Seres HaShvatim, Einim Asidim Lachzer, you still find there were many times when people from the Aseres HaShvatim came and joined Yehuda and Binyamin. All the way back in the time of Yeravam, when he set up his Egle Azav, There's a pasuk in Divrei Yomim that says there were many people from the Aseret HaShevatim who moved south to Eretz Yehuda because they didn't want to put up with Yeravam and his Egle HaZav and all that. They wanted to be able to come to the Beis Hamikdash and serve the Eibishter the way you're supposed to. So already then you had. Later on, you had different other times. It mentions by some of the kings of Yehuda, it mentions that there were people from Malchus Yisrael who saw how successful the kings were, and therefore they also moved into that territory. Eventually, what you have is after the Aseret HaShevatim were taken into Golos, the Gemara mentions in Megillah and in Erchin, based on Psukim in Yechezkel and in other places, that Yirmiyahu was sent to bring back many of them to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, Yeshayahu ruled over all of them. We talked about at the beginning of Perek Mem, when it mentioned when Yechezkel dated this Nevuah, he dated it Berosh Hashanah Ba'osu L'Chodesh, which means that it was in the Yovel year, because that's the kind of year when the year begins for purposes of the Kedusha of the year on Yom Kippur. So then it was already after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but he's counting since the previous Yovel, which there was in Yoshiyahu's times, there was a Yovel because Yoshiyahu ended up ruling over enough members of all the 12 Shvatim that it was called Yoshvei Aleh and there could be a Yovel. So yes, so there was those people. So when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they went into Golos Babel with Yehuda and Binyamin. And when they came back, 50 years later, and again 70 years later, then there were some of them as well. In the Psukim in Ezra, in fact, in Ezra and in Nehemiah, when it lists the families that came back, it gives a total of 42,000 and some who came back. It lists them individually by families. From this family, there came back X number. From that city, there came back X number. If you add up all the numbers that it gives over there, families of Yehuda, Binyamin, Kohenim, Levim, Nesinim, and what have you, you end up with a total of around 29 or 30,000. Whereas the missing 12 or 13,000, Seder Olam says, they are people from other Shvatim. So already then you had then people from all 12 Shvatim. So even if Aseret HaShevatim, Edom, Asidim, Lachzer as a whole, nevertheless, even now we have with us members of all 12 Shvatim, and Mashiach will clarify who's from what Shevet, and each one will get his portion in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, the point is, yeah, that's where in this, and we say imani meshevet pliny. That's more because, I mean, it mentions in Hayom Yem. That's more because of Ibur. That might be because, after all, even a Kohen or a Levi says it, because there might be his neshama is connected with a neshama from another shevet. But biologically, also, we have with us members of all 12 shvatim, even if most people don't know what shevet they're from. There's a famous thing, it says about Bnei Yisosfa. Why did he call the sefer that? So it says about him that every year Hanukkah time he would feel a tremendous surge of energy of kedusha, and he one time wondered why. Am I descended from the Hashmonaim? No, I'm not a Kohen or a Levi. So he one time goes to ask because his Rebbe, the Chozim of Lublin, and the Chozer tells him you're from Shevet Yisachar. So your ancestors were on the Beis Din, Bnei Yisachar, Yoda bin Elitim. They were on the Beis Din on the Sanhedrin at the time that established the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, and therefore he named his sefer Bnei Yisachar in tribute to that. So there you have a rare example, but Bederach Klal most people don't know. But Lasid Lavei, we'll all know who's from what shape. So the idea would be, I mean, because they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah and they assimilated among the Goyim. There's a Gemara in Yevamos actually that bears on it that implies that the Eibishter arranged that Davka all of them should be infertile because otherwise the women over there would end up having children from Goyim and you'd have a big mixture of Goyish blood into the Jewish people. So therefore, so it talks about over there according to one Manda Amr that the Eibishter arranged that the women there who went into Golos should be infertile. So if so, there may not be descendants of them left over anymore. But anyway, what's going to happen? I mean, the Gemara even when it mentions that, Rabbi Akiva says that they're not going to return. The Gemara is very surprised and says on him, Shavkid, Rabbi Akiva l'chassidus. What happened to his chassidus? He's always sticking up for the Yidden. And all of a sudden here, he's writing off an entire segment of the Jewish people. But yeah, one way or the other, however, we understand that exactly, yeah, there's going to be people from all 12 Shvatim. And there is even, by the way, I mean, there's even a Tosfos in Gittin that mentions because of this fact that during the second Beis Hamikdash also they had members of all 12 Shvatim. There's the Gemara brings up a possibility over there that Shmita in Hillel's times when he made the Peruz Bowl is even Daraisa. And then how could he make the Peruz Bowl? And the answer would be Hefker based in Hefker. So Tosfos points out over there based on these facts that we pointed out, you may well have had during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash enough of Yoshveh Aleha for Shmita and Yovel to be chal on a Daraisa level. Okay, getting back over here. So therefore he says, so now they won't have those noose, they won't have their dead bodies of their kings, which are chanti b'seichem olam. Posik yud. Ata ben Adam, Hashem says to him, now you ben Adam, haged es beis Yisrael as habayis. Tell the Jewish people about the Beis HaMikdash. V'yikomu me'amini seichem. Let them be embarrassed of their averus. Let them see, in other words, they shouldn't think that I just rejected them because of their averus and their goners. They should be embarrassed that even though with all the tremendous averus that they've done, that I still have rachmanus on them and I still have chesed on them and I'm still showing them that there will be a future Beis HaMikdash. And they will measure the blueprint. So you're going to show them the blueprint that you just saw, that you were taken on a tour of around in the previous parakim, and you'll show it to them. Then he continues, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the im nichlum when we call asher asu, if in fact they are embarrassed of everything that they've done, then start telling them the details. Meaning what Sudas David says, if when you talk to them, they're stubborn, then stop right there. There's no point in continuing. But if you see that they're actually embarrassed and humiliated from their averus, then go ahead and start telling them the details. Namely, tell them Tsuras Habayis, tell them the form of the house, which Rashi says means basically the basic shape of it, the fact that you have it has a certain size on each of the four sides, like we said before. Uschunosai. And the tchunosai, which Rashi says means the details, how many toyim, how many lashochos, etc., all those kinds of details. And its exits and its entrances. Tell them about all the details of the gates that you learned. And all of the images, which Rashi says we learned previously about how you have on the wood paneling all over the walls, you have pictures of kruvim and palm trees. So tell them all about that. The and all the rules, who's allowed to go where. The Chotzuroisav and all of his Tzurois. So Rashi says, I don't know what the second Tzurois refers to. We already said Tzuroisav. So what is the second Tzuroisav adding? The Mitzvah David says that the first Tzuroisav refers to the shape of each room, and the second one refers to the designs on the walls that we said before. He has a couple of others as well. For example, he says Tzuras Habayis is the general layout. There's a Heichol, there's an Ulam, there's Chatzeres, and so forth. Tchunosai is the more specifics. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the west. The Heichol is further east of it, etc. And so forth. So tell them that. B'chol Toroisav and all the Torah of who's supposed to go where. Hoida'isam, inform them, uchsoiv la'enehem, and write it down in their presence, which is how we have the Sefer. So ultimately, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, tells us that Anshe Knesset Sagdola wrote Sefer Yechezkel. Rashi explains over there that the Nevi'im outside Eretz Yisrael did not write down their Nevuos as a Sefer that's going to be for all time. So Yechezkel over here is told to put down notes of what he saw, but then later on, the Anshe Knesset Sagdola had to take those notes and put them into the form of the Sefer as we have it now. And he continues, V'yishmuras kol tzurosai. This way they will guard all, they'll learn the details of all of its forms, v'eskochu koisav, and all of its laws, v'osu oisam, and they will do them. So Rashi explains, first of all, what it means is this way they'll know what to do when Mashiach comes. They'll know how the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built. And also Rashi brings the idea that Gemara says that really, when they came to build the second Beis HaMikdash, when they came in Ezra's times, by rights, it should have been Derech Nes. It should have been they come Bizroya, they come by force, not like this, where they had to come only with permission of the king of the Persia. But Gora Machet, the Tshuva, wasn't complete. And they ended up having to be under the control of the Persian kings and under Kodesh, and you have the Goyim harassing them and whatever. So Rashi says two possibilities. One is that their tshuva was an improper tshuva, and the second thing is that in Bavel they were already getting involved with intermarriage. You find in the Psukim in Sefer Ezra, he talks about it in some detail over there how Ezra, when he came to Eretz Yisrael a few years after the second Beis HaMikdash was completed, they told him that there's a big problem of intermarriage over here, and he made a whole to-do about it, and eventually he got everybody to agree to send away their Goyish wives. But the point is that kind of thing caused their before that the second Beis HaMikdash was not the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. But now Yechezkel is telling them that they should be aware that there is going to be this Beis HaMikdash, which will never be destroyed. So if they live up to it, then good, then they'll live up to it, and then that will be. Then could have been. So that's what we talked about at the beginning. The Tosfos Yom Tov says that is why. So the Rambam describes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira The set, he says, first of all, there's many psukim in what we learned in Yechezkel that are very obscure. We already had a few times, for example, that Rashi says, I don't know what this means. We had different places where the different mefarshim had many different explanations of what's going on over here. And so the Rambam describes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't build it according to Yechezkel's blueprint because they didn't fully understand it. Instead, they mostly built it according to the blueprint of the first Beis HaMikdash, but they put in some details from Yechezkel's blueprint. So the Tosfos Yom Tov rather explains why is that. Because of this point, had they been zoicha, had their tshuva been complete, and had there not been this intermarriage and everything, then they would have been able, the Ebishter would have helped the Nevi'im of that time to fully understand what Yechezkel had said, and then they would have built the permanent Beis HaMikdash, and that would have been that. Because not, then therefore, that blueprint is only meant for a Beis HaMikdash that will never be destroyed, therefore they have to build it according to a different blueprint. But that's the point. In other words, for Osuoysim, he's telling them that they'll do them. Here also, you have the famous Medrash, where Yechezkel asks the Ebishter, what's the good of teaching it to them? They can't build it anyway while they're in Golos. And then the Ebishter answers with the famous line, just because they're in Golos, should it be Binyan Basi Bottle? So no, let them learn the details of the Beis HaMikdash and the halachas of it, and I'll consider it as though they built it. There's a sicha in Chelek Yud Ches where the Rebbe analyzes in some detail and explains that that is actually when we talk about the mitzvah of Va'osuli Mikdash for Shachanti B'Seicham, that is nowadays how we are mekayim that mitzvah is by learning these things. Since we're not physically able to build the Beis HaMikdash, so we are actually mekayim it by learning these things even now. And he explains that the Rebbe explains that's why, among others, that's why the Rambam begins Sefer Avodah with the pasuk Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim, implying, in other words, that by Shalu, by asking and delving into Shlom Yerushalayim, which, by the way, is in the Rebbe's Kapitel this year also, then with that alone, we are accomplishing the Avodah, we're accomplishing the Va'osu Oysam of the Beis HaMikdash. So now he continues, pasuk Yud Beis, Zois Toras HaBois. This is the law of the house. This is the law of the house. In other words, this is the basic teaching about the Beis HaMikdash. Al Roish Ha'har, on top of the mountain, which is the Har HaBayis, Kol Gvuloi Saviv Kodesh Kodoshim, the entire border all around it is Kodesh Kodoshim, Hine Zois Teres HaBayis, that is the rule of the Beis HaMikdash. The basic fact you need to know is that the entire Har HaBayis is Kodesh Kodoshim. And then within that, you have the details that we learned before all the way up to and including the actual Kodesh Kodoshim. There's a maimer from the middle, from the Friedrich Rebbe actually, in Maimonim Kuntresim, that talks about the deeper meaning behind this pasuk. So what do you mean? What is the Torah Saboyas exactly? We're not really saying much of a Torah in this pasuk. And so he explains in some detail in the maimer over there, he goes through the whole point of what our Hiskashlus to Moshe accomplishes in terms of our Avoda, what Aaron brings us in terms of Avoda. In particular, he talks about a mountain, a Har, represents Ava. And Rosh Ha'or represents Ava Rabba, which is what Aaron brings down to the Jewish people. And then we're saying, you don't just have Al Rosh Ha'or, you have Kol Gvuloi, Saviv Saviv, Kodesh Kodoshim. All around it, you have Kodesh Kodoshim, which he says at the end of the Maimur, they represents Ava Batanugim, Hine Zois Teres HaBois. This is the lesson of the Beis HaMikdash that you have. You connect with Moshe Rabbeinu, and through that, you reach Ava Batanugim, capped with the Ava Rabba that you get from Aaron, and you make your whole life is based on Ava Batanugim that you get from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he's going to start talking about the Mizbeach. Now, why didn't he talk about the Mizbeach before with the rest of the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash? So the Ababonel points out, you know, here after this, after he describes the Mizbeach, he's going to start talking about the Korbanos that you bring for the Miluim. So therefore, it's a sensible place to talk about it before you start talking about the Korbanos. He has to describe the Mizbeach. The Malbim makes a different point. He says, given what we just said, that most of the second Beis HaMikdash was not built according to the blueprint of the third one, but the Mizbeach, as we're going to say, basically the blueprint of the Mizbeach that he's going to describe over here, they followed almost identically in the second Beis HaMikdash with only slight differences. So therefore, it puts it over here, having just described that there's going to be a third Beis HaMikdash, and it could even be that the permanent Beis HaMikdash will be the second one if they live up to it. So therefore, here's an appropriate place to talk about the Mizbeach in the sense that whether you live up to it and you have the permanent Beis HaMikdash, or whether you don't and you only have the temporary second Beis HaMikdash, either way, here's how you're going to build the Mizbeach. So he starts that. The Eila Midos HaMizbeach Ba'amos. The following are the measurements of the Mizbeach in terms of Amos. Each Amma, 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 Vatoifach. Each Amma consists of one regular Amma plus an extra Tefach. So we learned at the beginning, or the beginning of Perek Mem, there's two kinds of tefach, two kinds of amma, rather, that they used in those days, one of five tefachim and the other of six. So the common amma that most people use was a five tefach amma, and then you have the longer amma of six. And you have a machloikas in the Gemara in a couple of places between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. How were the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash measured? Were they measured using the five tefach amma or the six tefach one? Rav Meir holds six, Rav Yehuda holds five. Anyway, so here, the amos that we're going to use to describe the Mizbeach are mostly amma of a tefach. They're mostly the amos of five plus one, meaning an amma of six tefachim. However, now in the rest of this pasuk, he's going to describe the exceptions, the ones where you have, instead of a measurement of six, you're going to have a measurement of five tefachim for some of the amos. Now, so I'm sorry, the diagram that I made over there, I didn't pay attention to make sure it should be visible clearly from far. But what you so you have over there on the sun, you have on the top, you have a schematic, and on the bottom, you have a 3D diagram. But actually, if you look in the Rambam section of these booklets over here, if you look in the section with Hilchos Beis Abakira with Maran Mekoymas, on page Tes Zayin, there's a diagram that the Rambam himself drew, and on page Yud Ches, there's another one, and that could give you a pretty good idea of the layout, even if you can't see that diagram well. So first thing is the chek ha'ama. The first thing is the chek, which is another word for the yisod. So it's like this: the mizbeach essentially is built as three boxes, one on top of the other, where each one is narrower than the one below it. Now, the way that Rambam describes it, based on a Gemara in Zvachim, is that, and then the way the other Mephoshim over here describe the same thing, they would set up, so for example, the bottom layer, which is the Yisoid, is 32 by 32 Amos. So they put down a wooden frame of that size, 32 by 32, and then they fill it out, they pour into it a mixture, the Gemara describes it, Sid Vezephus Vakunya, a mixture of lime and tar and molten lead. So it's almost like concrete, kind of. And they pour it into that, wooden frame and leave it there until it hardens. And that's the first layer of the Mizbeach. And then they put up a second frame and build the second layer on top of it and so forth until they reach the top. So the first thing, the first section is the Yisoid. So here in the Pesukim, he's calling it Chek, which is literally Chek means like the bosom. But here the Mephoshim explain it's actually Meloshim Chokul, because it's almost like engraved. It's like it's attached to the ground. So therefore, he's calling it Chek. So the Chek Ha'ama, the Yisoid, the Yisoid, which goes in one Amma on each side, that uses a regular amma of five tefachim rather than a large amma of six tefachim. So Rashi over here mentions that. So now you have the yisoid. You have to consider two measurements of it. You have the height of it, and you have the inset of it. How far it goes in before you reach the wall of the mizbeach, before you reach the wall of the next layer. So here the Pesukim are going to mention, the next Pesuk is going to mention that the Yisod in the third Beis Mikdash is two Amas tall, which is unlike previous Bate Mikdash where it was only one Amma tall. So that's one difference that you have between this Mizbeach and the other and the earlier ones. So Rashi seems to be saying that both dimensions, both the height and the width of the Yisod, are both measured with Amas of five Tefachim. Not everybody agrees to that, and in particular the Rambam when he describes it in Hilchos Beis Abchira, he describes the height as uses a five tefach amma, but the inset is six tefachim. So different opinions about it. What? So that's the first. So the chek amma, the first kind of thing that uses the five tefach amma is the chek, which is the yisoid. Second of all, the amma roichav, the second thing that uses the five tefach, the short amma, is the width of the soiviv. So here you have then, let's go point to it then. So you have the yisoid on the bottom over here, which is the bottom layer. And again, in the third Beis Mikdash, it's going to be two amas tall, whereas in the previous Bate Mikdash, it was only one. Above it, you have the next layer, which is 30 amas wide. The bottom layer is 32 amas wide. The next one is inset one amma on each side, so 30 amas wide. Or again, the Rambam talks about 30 and two tefachim, technically, because five tefach amas, whatever. Anyway, that one So that, so then, and then on top of it, you have another inset, which is the soivel. That's the ledge that went around the mizbeach. The kohenim would walk around it when they're doing a chatas behema. The blood of it has to be daubed with his finger on all four corners of the mizbeach. So you have, we say in Ezer Mekoyim, Olo Lakevesh, Ufon Lasoiv, Lakevim Dremis Mizrach, Mizrach Tzvonis, etc. He goes counterclockwise around the mizbeach and daubs the blood on each of the four chronos. And you also have an oila sa'oif, also the blood acidity, he does malika, and then the blood is squirted also onto the top half of the mizbeach. So for the same reason, he'd stand on the soviv for that also. So that inset of the soviv, that's what he's calling over here in the pasuk, the ama roichav, the ama, the width, that's another one which he's saying is an ama of five tfachim rather than six. The next one, Ugvula, then you have the border, El Sfasa Saviv, all around the edges. That refers to, Rashi says, means the Kronos. You have at the top of the Mizbeach, you have the four Kronos on the four corners, here and here. You have in the schematic, here and here, in the 3D view. So each of those are also Gvul El Sfasa Saviv, the border, the Kronos all around the edges. Zeres Ha'echad is one Zeres. A Zeres is a half an Am. And specifically, again, what we mean over here, this is another one of those things that's measured with the five Tefach Am. So both the height and the width of the Kronos are both five Tefachim rather than six. And he finishes off the Zeg Gab HaMizbeach, and this is the top of the Mizbeach. So some of the Mephoshim explain that it just means that now I've just described to you the top of the Mizbeach. That's how the Radak says. However, Rashi and Mitzudis bring from the Gemara in Menachos, which discusses this pasuk and gives all these explanations about the fives and the sixes, that the Zeg Gab HaMizbeach actually refers to the top of the Mizbeach Hazoh. So the Mizbeach HaZohav you have in the Pesukim in Parashas Tetzaveh, it describes it. It was two amos tall and one by one square on the top. And then in the Bismikdash, it was larger. But the top of it is also measured using a five tefach amah rather than a six tefach one. So the Zeh Gav HaMizbeach is not referring to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, but rather those words are referring to the Mizbeach HaZohav. So this pasuk has listed for us all the things that are measured with five amot, with five tefach amos. The way that Rambam summarizes it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, based on the relevant Gemaras, is the Mizbeach. First of all, he says that the Mizbeach was always 10 amos tall, although we're going to see when it comes to this Mizbeach, the way that Rashi phrases it over here makes it seem that apparently he holds that in the third Bismikdash, it's going to be 11 amos tall. But other than that, in the first two Bate Mikdash, in the Mishkan, and in the first two Bate Mikdash, it was 10 Amos tall, and according to most of the Mephoshim, the third base Mikdash as well. And that means 10 Amos from the floor till the top of the Kronos, up to and including the top of the Kronos. So the Mokam Amarocha, the top of the Mizbeach, where the wood piles and the fires go, is 9 Amos off the ground, and then you have one more Amma for the Kronos. So the Rambam summarizes it that altogether the Mizbeach in the first and second Beis Hamikdash was 58 tefachim tall. Because you have, it's 10 amos, of which most of them are 6 tefach amos, and then you have two of them, the height of the Yesod and the height of the Kronos, are each 5 tefachim. So here it's going to be a little bit different again, because for one thing, we're saying that the Yesod is 2 amos tall in the third Beis Hamikdash instead of 1 as in the previous Beis Hamikdash. Incidentally, the Mitzudis mentions an interesting point. In the first and second Beis Hamikdash, it says the Yisoid didn't go all the way around the Mizbeach. It covered two whole sides of the Mizbeach, on the west and on the north, and then it wrapped around, there's different opinions among the Mephoshim, a little bit on the east and a little bit on the south, and the southeastern corner had no Yisoid at all. There's the opinion of Levi, actually, in the Gemara in Zvachim, that says there was a physical Yisod there. They just couldn't put blood on it. But then you have the opinion of Rabbi, but there was no physical Yisod on that at all. And that's how the Rambam paskins. The idea being, the Gemara explains over there that the whole Mizbeach had to be built in the territory of Shevet Binyamin. So since Shevet Yehuda's territory stuck out a little bit over there, then therefore they couldn't build a Yisod all around the Mizbeach. So Mitzudis makes the point, since we said before the third Beis Hamikdash is not going to be in the territory of any Shevet, because it's going to be in that strip of land that belongs to the Nasi in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, so maybe, conceivably, it will in fact have a Yisod around all four sides. Anyway, the vote is also that in the middle of the Mizbeach. So Yechezkel doesn't describe it over here because mainly, I mean, he's, you know, after all, the basics about the Mizbeach and the rules about it, we know from the Torah. He's really just mentioning the things that are new in it in the third Beis Hamikdash. So in the middle of the Mizbeach, you have what's called the Chut HaSikra, the red line that separates the top half from the bottom half, where again, you have the blood of certain carbonists has to go on the top half and the blood of certain carbonists has to go on the bottom half. So they had a red line there. In the Mishkan, they had a ledge around the middle with a network on it, Masei Reshes Nechoshes, that marked that point. And in the Bate Mikdash, they have, instead of red line, painted on the Mizbeach. So here, where the Rambam describes the Mizbeach in the first and second Beis Hamikdash was 58 tefachim tall, so the red line was 29 tefachim off the ground. Here, by the third Beis Hamikdash, depending on how you learn the Pesukim, it might be a little higher. According to the figures that Rashi gives over here, it seems that maybe the third Beis Hamikdash, it's going to be 63 tefachim tall. So then in that case, then the red line would be 31 and a half tefachim off the ground. So he continues, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Umechek Ha'aretz Ad Ha'azara HaTechtona, from the Chek, which again means the Yesod, which is so from the ground, until the Azara HaTechtona, which means the top of the first, the top of the first square, because again, we're calling it the Azara HaTechtona, in the sense it's almost like a mini Azara, because they pour it like a concrete floor, and until the next layer is put on top of it, you have like an elevated floor space over there of 32 by 32 amos. So from the ground until the top of that, Shtayim Amos is two amos, which is, again, different than how it was in the Mishkan and in the previous Bate Mikdash. The Roich of Amma Echos, and the width is one Amma. So then on top of that, you put the next block, which is going to be 30 amos by 30 amos. Umeho Azora Haktana, Adha Azora Hagdola. Then from the Azora Haktana, which means the Yesod, and it's called Ktana in the sense that it's only two amos off the ground, until the Azora Hagdola, which means the Sobev, which is called Gdola in the sense that it's higher up off the ground. It's another four amos off the ground. So now, so far, you're six amos off the ground. The Roich of Amma, and again, the width is going to be one amma, because the next piece that's going to sit on top of that is going to be only 28 amos wide. So you have an amma of the middle layer sticking out in each direction. And as we said before, in the previous pasuk, that amma is an amma, is one of the ones that's measured with an amma of five tefachim. No, the only the Mizbeach in the Mishkan was plated with copper. The one in the Beis Hamikdash is Mizbeach Avonim. It's a Mizbeach of stones. So that mixture that we mentioned before, the Sid Vezephus Vakunya, the Pashtos, they also have stones mixed into it as well. So the stones actually, they have to be whole stones, Mizbeach Avonim Shlemus. They can't cut them with iron tools. In fact, Tosfos mentions they couldn't use the Shamir to cut them either, because the Shamir doesn't make a smooth cut. It makes a more jagged cut. So instead, what they had to do is they had to use naturally smooth stones. So the Rambam describes, they take, for example, stones from the seabed, which are naturally smooth, or they dig really deep down into the ground and find naturally smooth stones. And that's what they use. That's what they'd use for the Mizbeach. But the idea is, in other words, if you build it out of natural stones like that, it's going to have gaps here and there, and you have to have the edges of it have to be completely smooth. So that's where they use the Sid Vezephus Vakunya, the concrete-like mixture, to fill in those gaps so that it's perfectly smooth and straight along the sides and along the edges. So there's three Mizbeches? No. Oh, so you have the Pnimi and the Chitzen. And then in the Mishkan, you had the Mizbeach HaChitzen was made out of wood and plated with copper. In the Bate Mikdash, instead, it was replaced with a Mizbeach made out of stones and this concrete-like mixture. All right. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGola. Vav Menachemov. So we know the famous thing from Rabbi Yitzchak Voiditcheva, Shabbos Chazon, is Machzeh, that every person is shown the Beis Hamikdash in the future. And the purpose of that is, just like in the Pesukim that we learned over here, to arouse us and encourage us in Avodas Hashem when we realize the Beis Hamikdash is already ready for Maila, and all we need to do is do our Avodah to bring it down. Now, Chazal say, there's an expression that there's a pasuk that says, that Daniel says, I saw a certain vision, and only I saw it. The people who were with me, which the Gemara identifies as Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, did not see it, but they were tremendously scared, and they ran away. And the Gemara asks, well, if they didn't see it, then what were they so afraid of? And the answer is, Mazlayu Chazu, that their Mazel, their Shodesh and Neshama, saw it. So here, the same thing. The mazel of the neshama sees this mikdash delasid, and that's poil on a person, even on his goof and nefesh of Bahamas, to improve himself, to improve his ways, and make it that the basic mikdash will be built. Halacha. We're starting with a new siman, the dinim of mincha. The first thing is that the Gemara brings Amar of Chelba, Amar of Muna, a person should always be careful with tefillas and mincha, because we find that Eliyahu HaNavi was only answered by tefillas and mincha. The reason why it's so important, because shachlis, you know, there's a certain time. As soon as you get up, then you daven before you start your business. And at night, also, you come home, you finish with a day's work, you're free from work, so then you daven. Mincha, though, it's in the middle of the day when you're busy with work and you need to set aside time, so therefore there's tremendous schayr for it. And in fact, in Hayom Yom, it mentions along those lines that when it says, Lo'olam Yeherodim Zahir, but Tfilos HaMincha, that Zahir is Meloshin Yoyer, that when a person Taka does that, he sets aside his business and Taka goes and daven Mincha, whatever, Vavoida and Bekavana, that it makes his neshama light up in a way that the other tefillos less so.